Aren't you thankful that Jesus rescues? Amen.
Praise God.
Not only am I thankful that Jesus rescued me, but I'm thankful that He pricked my heart to let me know that I needed to be rescued.
Amen.
So many times we sail along life's sea and we don't think that we need to be rescued. We think everything's good. Everything's going great. Man, but it doesn't matter how good life is. If you don't know Jesus, life ain't worth living.
Amen.
Amen. You only begin to live really when the Lord just comes into your life and tells you, He gives you that spirit of a comforter, man, that leads us and guides us and never forsakes us. Amen. If you're glad you've been born again, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. We're glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God is great, isn't He? The Bible says He's great and greatly to be praised. I know He does His part. Do we do our part? Amen. His part is greatness. Our part is to greatly praise Him. Amen. So we need to praise Him regardless of what we're going through, regardless whether we feel good or feel bad. My dad always said, there's two times to do it, son. It's when you feel like it and when you don't. Amen. And I will assure you, if you really want to bless Him, just praise Him when you don't even feel like it. Amen. And God will bless you for that. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Appreciate you being here. I know the weather is a little bit inclement, but thank God that He has given us a good place, a warm place, and a dry place to worship Him this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Isaiah, the writings of the prophet, in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 55, beginning with verse number 6. Isaiah 55, beginning with verse number 6. When you get there, just lift your hands to praise the Lord. Amen. Reading from God's holy word, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You rescued us. We're so thankful for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for Your abundant love. For those who have gathered here this morning, Father, I pray Your anointing and I pray Your blessing. Bless each every household that's represented here today. God, Lord, we do remember those who are sick today. Many are afflicted, not able to be here. Father, I pray, God, for the healing of their body. Bless those in the hospitals and the nursing homes, God, who need a touch from You. And Father, the vast majority of people today who are seemingly lost and unconcerned, Father, I pray for a Holy Ghost revival, God, to enter this land, to enter the hearts of those who are gone astray. I pray, God, that You would lead them, guide them to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. Father, I now ask for Your blessing. God, Your anointing upon this vessel. Anoint these lips of clay, God, as an oracle and a vessel to speak that You would have us to hear. And we'll praise You. We give You all the honor and the glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Well, I never get tired of giving the Lord praise. Never get tired of acknowledging His greatness and His power. This morning, if I had a message title or topic, it would be God's Word is Final. How many of us know that? How many of us believe that? Be careful on this one. How many of us live that? Without question. Without reassurance. Without doubt. When God speaks, we listen and we obey. If we do, that's a mouthful. But that is our obligation unto the Lord. We find the prophet Isaiah here as God speaks to him, and what a wonderful prophet of God that Isaiah was. I love the reading of the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and those that God spoke to during that time. You know, God had to have a man to speak to. The Holy Spirit had not come yet. We did not have the dispensation of the Holy Ghost yet. Jesus had not come and died on the cross of Calvary, nailed our sins to the cross. So God had to speak through prophets, and God had to speak through anointed men for His children to listen and to hear, and they had to be obedient unto the Word of God. And as God began to speak to these prophets, and they began to minister unto the church and minister basically unto the children of Israel, they wrote these things down. And the prophet here begins with God's instruction for man. How many are thankful for instruction? Do we always adhere to the instruction? That is the thing. God has a Bible. God has a word of instruction. Oh, that man would listen. Oh, that man would be obedient to the instruction of God. Many times when I have failed, many times when I have erred in my life, it's because I did not adhere and listen and obey the instruction of God. It's there for us. Amen. We should always refrain from saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to turn, I don't know where to go, because the answer is in God's Word. It's always in God's Word. But we must be in tune to God's Word, we must listen, and we must be obedient. And the prophet here begins with God's instruction for man. One of the first things that he says is to seek the Lord. In every situation, I believe that it is vital that we seek the Lord. And we may have entered into situations similar before where God has ordained an answer for us. But regardless of the fact, if we're entering into something that even that we have experienced before, I still think it would behoove us to seek the Lord again. In fact, I don't believe that it would be too much to ask to seek the Lord each and every day for our lives. Seek the Lord in what He would have us to do, where He would have us to go, how He would have us to be, to whom would He love or have us to minister to, and to seek the Lord, and to seek Him not just for the benefits, to seek Him for God's true and Holy Spirit to be within us and move and act in our body the way that we should. We should seek Him, and then He said to call upon Him. Many times, you know, the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. Without hesitation, sometimes we react, and then we kind of call on the Lord to help us out of the situation. But the prophet here says, and speaking to the children of Israel, not only do you need to seek the Lord, but you need to call upon Him. How many knows and thanks God that it is a wonderful benefit to be able to call on the name of the Lord? I know sometimes we do it just very, very quickly. Lord, help me through this. But it's a blessing and an honor for us to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace, before the power of God Himself, and ask Him to lead us and to guide us into whatever situation may arise in our life. Then he goes into this. He says, forsake your wicked ways. Amen. How many knows that when we turn to the Lord, we must turn from our wicked ways. And we must turn from the ways of the world. Regardless of what the world thinks, regardless of what our flesh desires to do, how many knows that it takes a commitment to turn from our wicked ways and to turn on to the Lord and follow Him according to His statutes and to His precepts. So there must be a physical turning from the wicked ways of the world and turn to the Lord. Oh, that the world would understand and know that today. And then he follows that up and he says, return to God. Brother Vic handed me a little slip of paper this morning and asked me to read it. And as I read it, I had to question him. I said, did this actually come out of a newspaper? You don't find too many things like that, but it was talking about the nation and how that we have forgotten God and how our troubles begin when we begin to take God and His Word out of public places and out of our schools, and how that we are reaping now the things that happened and transpired even as far back as the 1960s. And how many knows the Bible is very explicit when it tells us that you will reap that which you sow. And the nation has sowed unrighteousness, and the people have turned from God and turned to their wickedness.
wicked ways, and we are now, as a generation, reaping those terrible benefits, amen, that have been laid before us. But I tell you, there is a hope, amen, and that hope is that we return to God. And that hope is that there is a cry in the nation today to turn from your evil ways, to turn from your wicked ways, and listen to the voice of God and seek Him while He is near. Amen. That is very, very important. So we need to return to God. And then the Bible tells us, the prophet says, then God will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Can I get a witness? If we turn to God and if we seek Him, amen, and if we listen to Him and also submissive and obedient, God will abundantly pardon us and He will forgive us. I stand here today so very thankful that God is a forgiving God, that He will abundantly pardon the sins of unrighteousness. Amen, the sins of our youth, the things that we did according to the desires of the flesh. But when we turn from that evil way and we turned our attention to the Lord, God forgave us and He abundantly pardoned us through the blood of Jesus Christ. That ought to make us thankful, amen, every day of our life for the price that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary, that we could be pardoned. Then the prophet kind of switches gears a little bit, and then he begins to touch on a very delicate situation. He begins to speak of the comparisons between God and man. They're vast. There is a huge gulf. Regardless of how many times that we read the Bible through, regardless of how many times that we fast and pray, and I do not understand, I do not discount that whatsoever. That is vital to a Christian walk with the Lord. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we need to quit reading the Bible. Just because we've been born again doesn't mean that we've lost the need to fast and pray before God. I need to seek Him every day of my life. I know the Holy Ghost is alive and well in my spirit, and I know my spirit is strong, but I know that if I don't feed my spirit, my flesh is becoming stronger and stronger, and I need to keep it under subjection to the power of the Holy Ghost. And for me, I can't speak for you, but for me, that is a daily thing that I must do. He begins to speak of the comparison between God and man, and he says God's thoughts and ways are higher than man's. I've often referred to it to a board game. We're trying to figure out our next move. God's several games ahead of us. All we need to do is be submissive to God. When we place something in the hands of God, He doesn't need our instruction on how to make it come to pass. Although we often do, we follow that up with telling Him exactly how it needs to be done. And not only that, many, many times we put a time limit on and say, this has got to be done by tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Understand, God's thoughts and His ways are higher than ours. There's things that God's done that I can't even begin to comprehend. I have seen the mighty move of God that I can't even begin to fathom and tell you how it happened. I just know that it did. I'm so thankful that God doesn't have to have my understanding, but what He desires is my faith. I may not can tell you how it's done, but I can tell you it will be done through the power of God. That takes my faith, not my intellect, not my talent, or not my ability to understand what exactly God is doing, just to simply put it in God's hands, call it done by faith. Amen. And go on about my business. And I know that God is going to make a way. I know that He will make a way where there is no way. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. No wonder I have to pray my thoughts under conviction. No wonder so many times that my mind begins to dwell on things and issues and problems and circumstance in the world. Because my mind is not truly the mind of God. I want it to be. I want the mind of Christ to be in me as it was in Jesus as He walked. But it still takes an obligation. It still takes commitment. And it still takes a daily devotion unto the Lord to communicate with the Lord. Help me through this matter. Help me through this situation, God. Give me grace to stand. Give me faith to believe. God, give me the strength to keep going, even when it seems like I can't take another step. Hallelujah. The comparison is so vast. God's thoughts and ways are higher than man's. Many, many times that's the reason we cannot simply comprehend the Word of God. We don't understand it. Therefore, it's hard for us to act on it because we don't understand when God speaks to us and tells us to do certain things. Can I tell you, you're not the Lone Ranger. You're not the only person that's ever happened to. Do you might think that Moses probably couldn't understand? Oh, you want me to do what to this Red Sea? You want me to do what to this rock? Come on. Sometimes God's ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours, we can't understand. But God doesn't say, you don't have to understand my word. You just have to do it. You just have to obey it. You just have to act on it. Amen? Act on faith and God will do His part time and time and time again. If I learned anything from this particular passage of Scripture, is that I don't have to know every move that God is going to make. I just have to know that I'm banking on the finished product and what God's word is final. Amen. I can't change it. I don't need to try to change it. I don't need to add to it. I certainly don't need to take from it. When God says I will do it, I'm going to count it done. When God says I have healed you, I'm going to testify for His healing. When God says I'm going to put a door there, I'm going to reach for the doorknob. I'm not going to say, God, I don't see the door. God, I don't see the healing. God, I don't see the deliverance. God doesn't ask me to see that. He just asked me to believe that. And when God speaks it, His word is final. It will happen. It will take place. We'll see miracles. We'll see deliverance. We'll see victory. We'll see chains broken. We'll see families back together. We'll see sons and daughters in the altar. If we just stand on the word of God and call it God, His ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hallelujah. God's word is final. Hallelujah. He is the final authority. Glory to God. As we turn and we look at the devastation in the land, we see the turmoil. We see the tumult. We see the riots. We see the discontentment. We see all of these things. And we can point to one thing. And it's not the government. It's not the lack of caring. It is the fact that we as a world have turned our minds and our hearts away from God. And this is, it wasn't God's fault. It's not God doing this. We have done it to ourselves, church. We have done it to ourselves, nation. We have done it to ourselves. But let me tell you, the prophet also said, He is abundant and will abundantly pardon us. He will forgive us. Nation of the United States of America, God will forgive you. God will have grace and mercy. But you need to make the step. You need to be obedient. Church, God is a forgiving church. A forgiving God. If you're there, seek His word and His forgiveness. Hallelujah. God is so much higher than us. His ways are so much higher. Can't begin to know the mind of God. It is too vast for us to understand. Lastly, the prophet addresses the finality of God's word. Amen. I remember as a small boy when I had a request from my parents. It wasn't necessarily the answer that I was wishing for or hoping for. I would begin to formulate a plan in order to change the mind of my parents to a more receptive answer, turning no into yes. You know, I learned that there was another step. If you could get the maybe. It was difficult getting the yes, but if you could get the maybe, you could get them thinking. You'd be very, very persuasive. Poochy-lipped. Powder. And then if that didn't work, it was the proverbial, I'm the only one in the neighborhood that don't have one. Mom, Dad, Wouldn't you be embarrassed to know that your son was the only one out of the entire class that wasn't going? Most of the time you'd get a response like, I'm not their mother. I'm your mother. And then you would try a different approach. Mother, I love you. I love you. You've got to be the best mother in the world. You're so kind and understanding. And she looks at me and she says, you say all you want to, you're not going. But mother, I'll do anything you want me to. And then she says, you'll do what I want you to anyway. Because I'm your mother. And when you've really found out that you could not change that response, you maybe sulked a while. But you found out that the sun came up the next day and wasn't quite as bright, but he came up the next day. She gave you food to eat 3 times a day, you know. Put a roof over you. Good place to sleep. Who buys the groceries in this house? Who pays the electricity? And you're just slinking down like that right there, you know. So as long as you're under my roof, you're going to do what I say. Remember, I'm your parent. So then you walk away a little disheartened. But you knew that her word was final. Final. So you became submissive and obedient to that word. You know, I find that same mindset sometimes when we go to God. God, this is just not what I wanted to hear. I was fully expecting you to give me the desires of my heart. You said, ask believing, and I'm believing. But God, that's not exactly what I was looking for. And then we go all the, you know, Lord, I'm your child. I've served you for so many years. I've dedicated my life to you. I put you first, as your word says. Can you not see fit for this one time to maybe change your response? And God holds fast. Sometimes His response is a response of nothing. As we wait for Him to change His mind, as I waited patiently for Mother to change her mind, sometimes her stare was the answer. And if you've never been backed down by a stare, you hadn't let the right person stare at you. Sometimes God just stares. And when He stares, I think there is some type of telepathy that He places in our spirit. And the Holy Ghost begins to speak to our own flesh. You're going to stand in the face of God and give Him instruction? His ways higher than your ways. His thoughts are way beyond your ability to think. You're trying to change the response of the Creator of the heavens and the earth and mankind itself. You're trying to change the mind and persuade someone who has spoke things into existence, who not only knows the present, but knows the future. He is our future. And we begin to slink back in humility and embarrassment. And we finally succumb with a bowed head, Father, Not my will, but thine be done. Please forgive me. I know your word is correct. I know it's true. And now I know it's final. Let me tell you about the finality of God's word. As I spoke earlier, there were times, very few, but there were times when I was able to change the word of mother and daddy. Took a lot of persuasiveness. And I'll just go ahead and tell you. Sometimes when I went and changed their mind, I found out later on I should have just left it alone. Because they knew what they was talking about. They had seen those experiences before. They gave me just enough rope. And I realized, hey, Mom, they was right. I should have just left it alone. But I was able to change that no into a yes, or we'll see. To me, we'll see was, yes, it's done. It's done. I got them now. Yeah, we'll see. Because we'll see means I'll see. And they're going to come around to my way of thinking. And most of the times it was, very, very, very few times where I was able to persuade them. But I want you to know the finality of God's word. The prophet said, it will not return void. I want us to think about that for just a few minutes. It will not return void because it cannot return void. When God speaks it, it's going to happen. It's not a maybe. It's not a remote possibility. It is an actual given if God speaks it. Now let's apply that to our prayer life. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and the Word, what is the Word that we have to dwell to rely on? It is the written Word of God that was the spoken Word of God that is one and the same and is synonymous with God Himself, as John tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when His word goes forth, it is a final word, and that we need to count it done. And when God says, I will never leave you, why would we as a Christian say, God, where are you? Do we have to go back to the elementary beginnings of one-on-one with God? Or have we reached a point where we can so rely on God that it doesn't matter? We may feel like we're alone. It may feel like everybody's turned their back on you. It may feel like you can't find a friend anywhere. But you've still got the final word of God who told us, I will not leave you. He's there with us through every situation, through every trial. The final word of God. Oh, it's so strong and so powerful when we begin to realize when God has spoke something, it will come to pass. If God has told you, I'm going to heal you, count it healed. God says, I will deliver you, count it being delivered. Amen. If God says, I'm going to open a door, get ready to open that door because God's going to put one there. His word will not return void. What I like to say, it will not be without effect or useless. You remember in the word where the Bible says we'll be judged on every idle word. I think sometimes we really need to be careful what we speak and how we communicate. Many of our words are useless. I myself, I know that. I know that sometimes I should be quiet rather than speak. But it's so tempting to speak. Come on, it's so tempting because you're already thinking it. And many, many times it's done shot out of that mouth before that brain said, whoa! And you can't get it and put it back. As I like to say, you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. It's out. You can try to squeeze it in there all you want to, but it's a mess. Once you spurted it out, it's out. Amen. And many times, our words will return void and useless. And many, many times we'll say, I wish I hadn't said that. Can I get a witness? Only three or four of you out of the whole congregation have ever said something you wished you hadn't said. Come on, you married men. How many times have you said something? I wish I hadn't said that. Sure. But you did. You did. And our word sometimes returns void and useless. But when God speaks, understand this. When God speaks, it will not return void. And it is not useless babble or just conversation. Understand, when God speaks, He means something. When God speaks to your heart, there is a reason. When God tells you, why don't you pick up the phone and call brother so-and-so, there is a reason. When God says, why don't you open your Bible tonight and flip to wherever it opens up, I got something for you. There is a reason, amen. When God tells you, why don't you just dismiss yourself and go and kneel down somewhere, I want to speak to you. God has a reason. He's not just saying something to hear Himself speak. When God speaks, His word will not return void. And it will not be useless. It will be effective. As the prophet said. Secondly, God's word will accomplish. Man, how powerful it is when your word accomplishes something. Amen. You know, there are words that come out of certain mouths that we pay very little attention to. When those same words come out of a very authoritative voice, we usually react. Amen. Or I do anyway. When I hear that authoritative tone, you really pay attention. It will accomplish something. When God speaks, it will accomplish something. Amen. I believe I read somewhere in the Word of God that it refers 24 times when it said, and it came from, and the mouth of God spake, or the mouth of the Lord spake. Meaning when you understand, God spoke through prophets in that day. God spoke through spiritual leaders. But when Moses received from God, he gave to the people what God told him. When Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet and the other prophets, Elijah, when God spoke to them, they didn't change it. They didn't say, well, no, Lord, I can't tell them that. Here's what I'm going to tell them. They told them exactly what God said. And every single time without fail, it accomplished something. When God speaks, something is about to take place. When God speaks, a miracle is about to be performed. When God speaks, amen, mountains are going to move. When God speaks, walls are going to come down. When God speaks, there's going to be a spiritual growth within the one that is listening intently to the voice of God. It will accomplish. But listen, it will accomplish that which pleases Him. I read that again. It will accomplish that which pleases Him. Lord, does that mean sometimes your spoken word may not please me? Let me answer that question the best way I know. Yep. Sometimes God's word, and when He speaks to me, Brother Jim, it doesn't really please me. Because my flesh wasn't expecting that. Amen. But that's what God's willing to tell me. That's what His word is going to accomplish something in my life. It is what pleases Him, not what pleases, not always pleases man. Now I'll tell you, there's times when God speaks to me and it does please me. Pleases me very, very much. But let me tell you, when that happens, most of the times I've already prayed my will under subjection and said, Lord, here it is. You know how to fix it. God, you know what to do. Just do it, and I'm going to claim it done in the name of Jesus. And when He does it, it's certainly pleasing. But there's other times when God speaks to me and He puts something on me like the responsibility you need. Don't you love sentences that starts with you need? Most of the time it's not, you need a big old hug. It's not that. You need to get up off that couch and go out there and fix that door. You need to get that grass cut. Sometimes God's voice speaks to us. And it's not necessarily pleasing, but it's, you need to be more in tune with me. You need to be more about my business. You need to be more submissive. You need to be more obedient. You need to do that that I've already put on your heart to do that you haven't done yet. Lord, we don't even want to go there. But God's word will accomplish that which He pleases, not always what pleases us. Oh, now let me end on a light note. Amen. And it shall prosper. Glory to God. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Can I put that in Southern vernacular? It shall prosper according to His purpose. Amen. That's when it gets all back to, it's all about Him, not about us. Amen. When He speaks, it won't return void. His word will accomplish that which pleases Him. And it shall prosper in the thing that He sent it to do. Nowhere in there does it tell me that I got to understand everything about His word. Because just up above that, He said, no, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. You just be obedient. You just do what I ask you to do. You just do what my precepts and my commandments and my statutes tell you to do. Amen. You obey the word. In doubt, look it up in the word. Amen. If you got controversy in your life, look it up in the word. Seek the mind of God. Seek the will of God. Amen. And God will speak to us. It may not always be what we want to hear, but it will prosper, it will accomplish, and it will never ever return void or useless. I love the word prosper. We all want to prosper, but you understand the prosperity comes on His part. It shall prosper Him in glory and sacrifice of praise and adoration and exaltation and loving and worshiping the God. Amen. The speaker of His word, and the universe was made. Amen. The one who made and formed and fashioned us. When we begin to seek His will and act on His word, amen, it will prosper in the thing that He sent it to do. We have not because we ask not. Sometimes we ask not because we think we're undeserving. We ask not because we can't muster the faith. We ask not because we can't truly believe that God is going to do this for us. I believe I serve a God that nothing is impossible with Him. If you believe that He can do all things, give Him praise this morning. Put your hands together and worship Him. Are you thankful for His word? Are you thankful that He loved us enough to send His Son? Are you thankful that His word is final? Can we comply with it? Can we be obedient to it? Can we be submissive and humble to the spoken word of God? If we do, we will prosper in the fact that His word will prosper. Man, you'll see miracles. You'll see deliverance. You'll see victory time and time again. The reason is because God's word is final. He doesn't need to change His mind because His mind is correct. If there's any changing done, it must be on our part. Lord, help me to be more attentive. Help me to be more submissive. Help me, Lord, always to be obedient to Your word. Would you stand this morning? God bless you is our prayer. We love and are thankful for you coming out today. We hope that the word has spoken to you. We hope that we'll have a better understanding of when God speaks to us. It is not our duty or job to try to convince Him to change His heart or His mind, but merely to be attentive and obedient to His word and His will. With every head bowed this morning, every eye closed, please, every saint of God praying, the will of God be done. Never ever want to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity to come to the altar. If you have a need this morning, if you have prayer, a request, if you just want to rededicate your life to God, If you have not made provision for the Lord yet, I don't know a better day. I don't know a better time. I don't know a better season to give your life to Jesus than the time and hour that we're in now. Is there one this morning?